Okay. So today, yeah, I want to do another Tshuva Be'erev Asher Wise. For those of you who were here last year, you know that for the most part until we got to Pesach, we did sort of general things, and then from Pesach to the end of the year, we dealt with test cases. We dealt with cases where there was a sort of a self-conscious move by Poskim to change the status quo in Pesach, whether that meant halachic positions or just dealing with new realities. So I wanted to do another test case this week from Rav Asher. Like I said, this, you know, until after El will be is Hashlamos, things I would have done last year. Then we'll start full on whatever when we come back. When we have like that 5-month block. Okay, so the question I wanted to deal with today, based on a tshuva that has gotten a lot of press recently, it was a 10-minute halacha by Rabbi Leibowitz with its normal several hundred listeners, and Ellie Fisher made a big fuss of this on Facebook, which eventually made it back to Rav Asher, and Rav Asher was very glad that everyone was talking about it on Facebook. Is a tshuva in the second chelik. What?
Apparently, the Fisher was scared that Rav Asher heard about it.
Yeah, until he found out how it got there. But yeah, so someone actually sent him the text of the Facebook post, and then Ellie told him that I was talking about it, and Jeffrey Wolf was talking about it. So a lot of people have been talking about this tshuva. This is in chelik Beis, in the new chelik of his tshuva. It's about OCD. But a little bit of background. This time I only gave you the tshuva. I didn't give you the rest of the makaras, because I want to talk about it a little bit outside, and then I want to go into the tshuva and do a close reading of the tshuva. Okay, so really the general issue, and here I think it really is a radical shift in Pesach, is how does halacha deal with mental illness? Because halacha really doesn't have precedent for it. When you look through, you know, there's two books here that I took out of the library, both by Moshe Halevi Spiro. One is Judaism and Psychology, Halachic Perspectives. The other is The Handbook of Psychotherapy and Jewish Ethics. And he makes the point in the introduction to one of them. I think this one. Yeah. Halacha hasn't worked out a systematic way of thinking about mental illness at all, right? And for a simple reason, like Chazal probably weren't fully aware of what it meant. And the best you have is Povisham references. Now, obviously, Chazal were aware of certain types of extreme mental illness. They were aware of insanity, right? We have a category of shota. We have a category of temporary insanity, right? We're getting talked about a karkadaikos, right? Someone who's temporarily insane, who goes in and out, has you know, I don't really know what it is exactly, some sort of extreme manic depressive or something like that, right? Where they have moments where they're normal and moments when they're not, right? The Gemara there, right? You guys didn't get into tradition. The Gemara there discusses whether a person like that can they give a get when they're sane, or in their sane moments. So Chazal were aware of sort of at the extremes that people could really be insane. But Chazal didn't really have don't really talk about mental illness per se. Now, it's a little bit unfair, right? Chazal do talk about psychological effects or psychological illness when it affects physical well-being. And Chazal were aware of the notion that extreme mental anguish during times when you're already physically compromised could cause you to become more ill. For example, someone who's mamish on his deathbed or potentially in his deathbed, Chazal allow him to be right? He's allowed to bequeath things to people, give a gift without a Maisa Kinyan, right? We made Gzeirat Rabbanan that a Shchiv Meira is allowed to give people things without actually doing any of the formal Maisa Kinyanim, right? Why? Because Shema Titarev Daito. Because, right, he's in a really anguished state, and if he's in a very compromised state, if we were to increase his anguish, that could speed up his death. We allow you to light a candle on Shabbos for For someone, right, immediately after childbirth, someone who's extremely sick, if it's going to calm them down, even if they don't technically need it, because it calms them down. And we recognize that when people are physically compromised, mental, right, what we would call psychosomatic issues, right? They're aware that under certain circumstances, your psychological state can have real physical implications on your body. Now that is well attested to in Chazal and Poskim, and that Chazal really do recognize, because right, the notion of chola, the notion of refuah, is very, very, very well established in Psak, the notion of pikuach nefesh. And in a case when Chazal were capable of translating psychological issues directly into physical ones, so then Chazal were capable of talking about it. Chazal did speak about it. Other cases, Chazal really do talk about it. Chazal recognized that there is a reality to psychological pain. In terms of monetary issues, right, we have notions of boshes and tsar, which are many, right, which are somewhat psychological. Boshes is really psychological. Tsar, I guess, is sort of on the border. But as a independent notion, dealing with the question of whether there is such a thing as psychological illness or how we treat it, right, that's really something that Poskim really couldn't have addressed because it's a modern phenomenon. Right, and we talked about this last year, right? Things like copyright also, right? You have this problem. The original copyright tshuvos are really struggling because halacha doesn't have a concept of copyright or corporations. I don't know what other cases we did. What other cases did we do? Test cases we did. Denominations, right? Chazal don't really know about denominations. Rishonim don't have denominations, right? You have a blip, right, where you have Poskim talking about Karaites. I mean, Karaites were on for a long time, but you have like a blip where there's a discussion of it in Rambam, and in the Radbaz there is, but a lot of modern phenomenon, Poskim really have to, at some level, start from scratch, right? They have to take precedence and have it force it to speak to things that it didn't speak to. So mental illness is one of those. Now, in the last 100 years, there's a lot of discussion. Now, some of it is very, very localized halachic discussion, such as, do you say Berachas HaGomel when you recover from mental illness? Which is a discussion a lot of modern Poskim. But when Poskim are looking for precedent, it's really quite difficult. For example, right, he tries to find some precedent in this book. And one of his examples, and I've seen this quoted in a few articles about psychological illness, one of their proofs that halacha recognizes the inherent danger of psychological illness is from this piece that comes up in a few tshuvas. It's in a chidah, and it's in the Sefer Ikarei Dinim on Shulchan Aruch. Do you say Berachas HaGomel when you leave Pardes? Right? What's Pardes? Anyone doing that family? Right? Arba Nechnus La Pardes? Right? Four people who go into the celestial realm? Right? Right? So what happens? Right? It's Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, Rabbi Kiva, and Acher. So what happens? Ben Zoma dies, Ben Azai goes insane. One dies when goes insane. It's Bavli and Rishami have driven yourselves and they flip them. Right? Rabbi Kiva is Nechon Shalom Yatsuv Shalom and Achar goes off the derech, right? Achas Kitzeitz Benetios. So some of the Achronim say, oh look, if you have to say Berachas HaGomel when you go into physical danger, Kal Vachomer when you go into spiritual danger, you have to make a Berachas HaGomel when you come out of Pardes. And he tries to say, practically this perspective would include emerging unharmed from chemically induced hallucinogenic stupor or psychotic delusional states, inasmuch as these represent severe alterations in reality testing and sense of reality with the potential for untoward consequences. So, right, this conclusion is far from obvious. Right, he's groping in the dark, and rightfully so, because Poskim, right, that's not a natural progression from Pardes to psychological illness. But you know, what can you do? Yeah, Yitzi.
I honestly don't know that much about mental illness. Many, if not most, mental illnesses can probably be traced to some sort of chemical that may be going on in your brain anyway.
Correct. A lot of them can be traced to chemical imbalances, for sure.
So, I mean, the line can often be blurred. I mean, what really is the difference between mental illness and what we call mental illness, we call physical illness?
So for sure. Meaning, but this way, the problem is like this. Right? Sometimes psychological illness leads directly to what we would commonly, or Chazal would have known as a physical implication, right? Like, you will be bedridden. Right? Chazal had, like, terms for, right? There's someone who might die. Right? There's someone who might lose a limb. There's someone who might be nofit lemishkav, right? Might be bedridden. There's someone who will be in physical pain, right? A mechush, right? Which is not halachically a chole, but right, a headache is a mechush, right? So all those things Chazal really understood, right? Chazal knew that. And they even might understand the implications. But
finding these symptoms rather than...
Correct. I've even heard of one rabbi, a Rosh HaBezdin, who has the very surprising shita, and this is based on, I think this is a mistake, who claims that you're allowed to take Advil on Shabbos no problem, because Chazal only had a gzera mishum refuah, but they didn't have a gzera of symptoms, and they had no idea that, right, they didn't realize that when you have a headache, it's not necessarily, you're not actually sick, you're treating the symptom, you're not actually treating the illness. Right? So he thinks that, oh, Chazal, it just couldn't formally have been an gzera because you're treating the symptom, not the illness, and therefore it's mutter. Now, this, I think, is a mistake because right, Chazal didn't have that formal distinction because I don't think, I mean, at some level, there isn't a distinction, right? And the way we experience it, there isn't right, a distinction. Some things are symptoms, some things are the illness itself, right? But we, when we think about being sick, right, we mix that in our head, right? Our experience of it is... Yes, we know that it could be more debilitating down the road. We know that. Right? But we think about it in terms of the implications in the real world. Now, psychological illness, let's say it's not going to have cause physical harm, it's hard to categorize that way. It's true that it has right, a physical cause, like it could have a physical cause, chemical imbalance, right? But if it doesn't fall into any of those classic categories of what it means to be sick, right? Death, right? Loss of arm, loss of leg, right? Or loss of mobility, right? Nofel mishkav. We don't have a category for it, even if it does have a physical, right? It's theoretically, yes, there's something physical causing it. This is at some level a taxonomy problem, right? It's a categorization problem. It's the same reason, right? Chazal, or the Psukim, for example, would call a bat a bird. Why? Because they define things by fly, right? It's a very, right, in sort of intuitive, right? We have very, very formal ways of defining things. It doesn't mean that Chazal were right or we're wrong or vice versa, right? When it comes to categorizing something, right, you can choose whatever criteria you want. Now, halacha doesn't usually work in the microscopic, right, level. It doesn't really care, right, what's causing it. It's true there are physical causes to psychological illness, but if it has no classically understood physical implications, right, I'm not debilitated physically, and this is often true, right, schizophrenics, this is often part of the problem, for example, right, schizophrenics are just as strong, if not stronger, right, in when they're in a schizophrenic, when they're like taken over and they're in it, like a schizophrenic state, they often are stronger and they often are violent, right, and can overtake normal people. There's often a problem, right? So it's hard. Classically, right, you don't say someone's sick and therefore he's stronger, right? That doesn't happen, right? Someone's hallucinating, so he'll do something which is really, you know. So the question really in front of Poskim in the 20th century, also before the 20th century, but we'll focus a little bit on the 20th century, was how to deal with psychological illness that doesn't debilitate physically, but it really is sort of debilitating in terms of running your normal life. The example he's, and probably now that I actually went through it a little bit and did a little bit of research, the most common question that Poskim have dealt with is the question of OCD. Now, I gave you the truth of Russia Weiss. This is the other basic response in the Haredi world. This is an article called Ma'amar Yirat Tehora about OCD. I didn't give it to you. It is 24 pages long. You can take my copy and make a copy of it if you'd like. Which deals with Be'in and Hanervin, which is how they call OCD. Right? Whatever, that's what they call it. And this is a collection of the Psakim of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It was reviewed by Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Stipler of Shach, Rabbi Yashiv, on how to deal with OCD. So, now to give you an idea, guys who were here last year or not, and when Poskim want to deal with something that's pachor yoter, a new phenomenon, or we even if it's not a new phenomenon, Psak is done with the first time. So what do you do? Right?
Similar.
Right, we try to look for parallel cases or precedent and that we can pull out. So let me give you two examples of the precedent that is quoted by a lot of people and give you an idea why this might not work and why Psak really has to reimagine it and why I think this really is a breakthrough in how Poskim deal with it. A lot of the poskim quote this true of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim is the Tzanzer, not so long ago. He was asked by someone who kanir'eh was somewhat obsessive compulsive, how exactly centered did his tefillin have to be? Okay, and the guy was apparently really obsessive and really, really, really tried and really was driving him crazy. So, his conclusion is actually quite radical, which is, don't worry about it, it really didn't have to be centered at all, it's not such a big deal. But leaving his halachic claim aside, the way he responds to him is says, what you're saying is Ein zu ela divrei borus. It's just stupid. Right? And that's the tshuva, right? That's how the tshuva is framed. It's about 10 lines, it's not even 10 lines long. And the Divrei Chaim just says, that's stupid, you don't need it to be centered. Right? That was how he dealt with the person who was OCD. Now, this is not a good way to deal with it. Now, what happens if someone has the specific type of OCD that affects religious people, right? It expresses itself in religious context. What's going to happen if someone just says, your chumrah is dumb? What's going to happen? Almost inevitably. Yeah, I mean, they're going to ignore you. They're just going to stop respecting your authority, right? That does not how it works, right? Once people are set in an obsessive compulsive way, it doesn't usually work to just say, oh, that's stupid. Then you just don't become an authority. They don't listen to what you're saying. They assume they know better than you, and then they just move on. They also quote this Ramban, which is also quoted in a lot of poskim at the end of Hilchos Nida, that a woman shouldn't go crazy about chatzitzas and worthy of chatzitza, whatever, not a big deal. Like, you know, don't go too crazy. Now that might work, but the problem is that a generality like that is very unhelpful because women will say, I'm not going crazy. I actually had a chatzitza, right? I had something between my teeth, right? I had something on my foot, right? And you can tell them, don't go crazy about it, but if they're OCD, they're going to go crazy about it, right? It's not going to help just telling them, right? The poskim weren't thinking in, well, how do I systematically deal with this problem? So I want to read Rav Asher's Tshuva. And then at the end, I'll tell you a little bit what goes on in Yira Tahora. It's not really written as the exact same way, but I want to analyze. I want to show you how I think Rav Asher Weiss, when I first read it, I thought it was more groundbreaking than it is. Here, I think it's actually a fair culmination of the, in this particular case, the Haredi world's acceptance of mental illness as an independent category. And the Haredi world really, I think, this is really a breakthrough, actually just accepts it as a reality, as illness, and treats it as such, which I really think is a huge sort of step, whatever, it's a huge, I don't know, it's a watershed moment in Psak. But I want to show you, I want to read this tshuva, and I want to show you how it works both on the level of Psak, in terms of how it really does accept that which Kimat didn't exist in halachic literature as a reality, and I want to show you also pastorally how it works. Because what's very impressive about this tshuva is it's not just a very interesting halachic tshuva, it also, as it would have to be with a tshuva with OCD, also very well written pastorally. And I want to show you how poskim l'maisa deal, first of all, with new shailas, right? Fundamentally new shailas, and also how they deal with people who are suffering from illness, and how, right, they can act as not just a posik, but as a pastor, as a psychologist, as it were, to help people accept their psak and, right, therefore have a halachic answer and a emotionally, psychologically satisfying one also. Okay, so hanhagad halacha beOCD. So here's the shaila: Tamir chacham muflag v'rei shamayim merabim shesovel mikre kasher shel obsessiut. And someone, a Talmid Chacham, who is suffering from OCD. Ularov eino misugal lahagot bracha kel chatat. Now the classic problem. Oh, sorry. Before I get to it, just one more thing. Another very hard problem with OCD, specifically in the halachic community, is what? What? No. We'll get to that in an example. But fundamentally, what's one of the biggest problems with dealing with mental illness in the, especially OCD in the halachic community? What? No, not examples. Like systematic problem.
Your trust is opinion.
Halacha is detail oriented. It really does, at some level, require you to be slightly neurotic, right? It really does, right? And so it's often hard to diagnose, right? There's a very good book, if you're interested in this topic, called Sanity and Sanctity, which is a series of case studies done in the Haredi world by two psychologists who are working with HRM. And to highlight the problem, he gives the following example. Let's say, right, classic case of OCD. You have somebody that is terrified of germs. So the second he comes in the house, he takes his shoes, takes them off, boils hot water, pours it on it just in case he stepped where there might have been a dog who pooped and therefore there'd be germs in his shoes, right? He washes it, he Purells his hands, he then Purells the doorknob, and then he puts on gloves, right? And he has a whole complex process, and this way he does every time he comes into the house, and then when he leaves the house, he does the same thing, right? Relatively, this is actually, you know, a standard OCD thing, right? Easily diagnosable. Person two insists that when he wakes up in the morning, he washes his hands exactly, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. And then after that, he puts on his socks and then his shoes, but he has to put on his right hand, right foot before right shoe first, and then his left shoe. And then he has to tie his left shoe, and then he has to tie his right shoe, right? And then he has to make sure that he has to say a very specific series of words by exactly 9:42, right, in the morning, and another set of words by exactly 10:53, right, and then, right, he has to, at exactly, right, no earlier than 1:15, right, and 43 seconds, right, and then, right, then every seven, you know, every 4 weeks, he gets up and says, oh, and the moon will rise on Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon and 30 minutes, and if I were to divide the day into every hour into 1,000, it's going to be 732 units of time out of the hour which I divided. LMI, right? We all understand. Right, that's actually how halacha works. Right? Halacha is detailed oriented. Halacha actually feeds into obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a real problem. So there's two big problems. One is diagnosing, right? Because how do you diagnose? And the difference between someone who's really makbid on halacha and maybe has some chumras, right? Maybe it's just a yek, right? And is very, very careful about time. And someone who's actually OCD. And second is, well, if you recognize the value in halacha, so how do you prevent someone with OCD really allowing halacha to feed into his problem? Right? This is a real issue of the halacha community. Yeah, Yeti.
In a sense, though, a lot of that sounds like it's like it wouldn't have been an issue 1,000 for you maybe last year. For example, you know, in the times of Chazal, Shkia was when the sun set, right?
Yeah. So some of it might have, but then again, right? You could say, Well, not exactly. No, the Gemara has the same thing, right? And it's a little bit worse, right? For example, the Gemara has a discussion about Eidos, right? If someone says that I saw someone kill at the third hour, and he says the fourth hour, so that you can make a mistake, but not if it's the fifth hour and the seventh hour, because then, you will never make a mistake when the sun tips, right? But then there's a machlokes. Well, will you only make a mistake for 1 hour or 2 hours, right? How good are people at judging the sun? Right? Chazal had it also, not obviously to the second in the same way, right? But they had that. And I admit, modern time, with the ability to measure things, it's only gotten worse, right? But the hand-washing rituals, and the foot, you know, the shoes, and, you know, I can give you more examples, right? Chazal say, your bed should always be, right, east-west, right? Not north-south. Right? North-south, not east-west, but the problem is we don't know what this
those
means.
Those are not what we would classically term, like, halachic, as much as, like,
it's in the Gemara. Now, again, we can argue. I understand. These are different levels of halacha. I can give you whatever, right? I can tell you that once a year we sit down for a meal and we have exactly an olive's amount of bread that didn't rise because it wasn't baked for more than 18 minutes, followed by
an olive's amount was an olive.
Fine, but still, even so, an olive's amount. Fine. We have this bread which didn't rise less than 18 minutes, right? The amount, or in Chazal, would be worse, right? It didn't rise for the amount of time that it takes me to walk approximately a mil, which I then have to try to intuit, right? Followed by bitter herbs, right? Followed by a sandwich of the two, just in case, right? Right? And think about what the Gemara says, right? You have it together because, well, it might be they're mavatl each other, or it might be your chayiv to have them together. So, what I do is I have the matzah, and then I have the mar, and then I have it as a sandwich, but I don't make a brach on the second one because it's only second one, right? We can have this about anything, right? You could say it about Hoshanos, we could say it about people checking Lulav and Esrog, right? Lulav and Esrog, right? Definitely, you see OCD, right? When you, right? People with OCD, this is like a nightmare, right? You see it. Well, you can have a citron, but only one from a tree that has never in the history been grafted. And there cannot be a spot on the upper third. And even on the upper third, it can be brown, but not black. Right? But even dark brown is okay. Right? But not black. But if it's on the tip, right? You're seeing, right? I can't give it again. Our halacha is detail oriented. There's no right in my nose. Okay. Which means that first of all it's hard to diagnose. Second of all, it's hard. Now, the way psychologists do diagnose it is by figuring out what's normal within your world. Right? Psychologists will say, well, taking your assumptions, which are taken by your community, right? You live in a social context where this is accepted, are you going out of the norm? Right? That's basically how they determine it. Pachor yoter. Right? Because psychological illness is, right? I mean, yes, I guess you have theoretically an entire society which is ill, but right, pachor yoter, if you are a harig, if you are an exception, you are going way beyond what anyone would expect, right? That would be one way of telling. Another way would be whether you actually contradict your own values, right? Like, if someone is very, very meditative about davening, but that's what he does, and he is just very consistent with it, and it doesn't affect the rest of his life, right? So that's one thing. If he davens really, really carefully, and therefore he misses man, right? He's so careful about words, but he misses man, or he's so careful with davening, he never learns, right, because it takes him so long, right? Then he is undermining the own the system he's ascribing to, where the values come from. Okay, so let's see what Rav Asher does here. So he says, "Tamar chacham muflag v'yerushim. I am marbim shesovel mekrek hashel shel obsesiut. The rov einim isagol alok bracha kelchata. So normally he can't say a bracha properly. Olakroed shema kelchata. Famim neevakus man rav lo hoil kedei lo tzi shem shemaim kara'oi. And sometimes he spends a lot of time trying to say Shem Hashem properly. The Yesh L'Agba Nevesh HaTzuma, and he's right. It's caused him a tremendous amount of pain. L'dan harofim ha'mumchim mitchum zeh derech hadibur shel le'olam lo yachzor pa'amayim al dibur o tefila v'im lo zechman rishona la'agod ha'bracha o tefila karoi ein lasot klal niseyon nosaf. So the psychologist or the psychiatrists are telling him what? Right? How should he treat his OCD? Right? He has OCD that expresses itself in religion. Right? This is a whole... Right, there's actually a phrase for it. I forget what it is exactly. Religious something, right? Something with religious as the base of it, right? Of OCD that expresses itself in religion. So they say the way to treat it is to say, no matter what, don't repeat. Right? You think you made a mistake? Too bad. Right? You think you didn't say Shem Hashem right? Just keep going. And eventually, you train yourself to not do it. So Talmid Chacham Zen Nafshol B'Shelato. So he asked me, Kasher Barulo Kashemish Lagad Hashem Kedin. He knows he didn't say Shem Hashem right. Velo Yatzai Yidei Chavato V'Ruchato. And he wasn't Yotzai. Im Mutar Lo Lachol. He's not to eat. V'im Timtelo Umar Lo Shemutar Lo. Hem Rayashim and Ame Echled Pat. And even if I say he's allowed to eat, should he at least not eat bread? Kedei Shalit Chalei V'Birchad Amazon. So he doesn't have to bench. Or even if he shouldn't bench, he will never have kedei svia. So he'll never have to bench me doraisa. So worse comes to worse, even right? The guy is coming to him saying, "Look, I understand. I want to cure myself, but there are ways that I wouldn't have to say brachos at all, right? Or not doraisa. I can minimize the problems. Right? He's a talmid chacham. He understands the system, and there are ways where he could minimize the issues." So, before we read the answer, right? If someone didn't recognize psychological illness, so even if he recognized there was some problem with the guy with the fact that a guy's like repeating words, right? His answer would probably be to this Shiloh, what should the guy do?
Not listen to the doctor.
Well, either not listen to the doctor at all, or what the Talmud Chacham says, at least minimize. Right? How often he has to rely on that. Right? Meaning, he would say, look, I don't recognize what you're going through is real. So, right, either don't listen to the doctor at all, or, look, yeah, you're right. You should, if you have a trouble making brachos, fine. So never be chayav in brachos d'oraisa. Right? Right? You can only say short brachos, fine. Only say short brachos. Never have a full meal. Because benching is just too hard. Right? I mean, the Talmud Chacham's response is predicated, well, halacha doesn't really recognize OCD. So, it's not going to suggest a way to cure it, right? Well, I just have to exist within it, right? But Russia doesn't go that way because, like I said, I think this is a culmination of a acceptance of a poskim that really does exist. And he says, "Nirvazeh la'alacha dereshit chovato shalish zeh." Right, and you see right off the beginning, your first obligation is lasot et kol nidrash amanat l'mtzo mazor marpel machlato shem kach mutar lo af la'avor al mitzvata torah v'zot mechada utrei tame. So what does he say right off the bat? And what do you know before you even start the tshuva? That he's accepted it. Right? There's no question. He doesn't justify it. Right? This is what's amazing. Is I think it's the culmination of an acceptance from the Haredi world of mental illness. Right? Because he doesn't even bother justifying. It says your obligation is to cure yourself, and if you must, you can violate mitzvah. So one, he recognizes that it exists. Two, what does he recognize that it is? I mean, illness. Right? I don't know pikuach nefesh, but sakana. Right, some level, it's actually a chola. Right, and just like by a chola, we say, right, a chola sheish b'pikuach nefesh, you can violate everything minus the big three. And a chola she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to violate all the rabbanans. He says, right off the bat, you can violate mitzvot. He recognizes it as a sakana. And he says, kvar be'arti makom acher, derashai adam levatel mitzvot aseh, kidei shelo yipol mishkav ve'yechela. So reason number one, I've said before that a person is allowed to violate a positive commandment so that he shouldn't become debilitated and be bedridden. Dimpaturu levazvez hon rav al hamitzvot. Because if you don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money for mitzvot, right? How much money do you have to spend on positive commandments? A fifth. Hu adin shenu chayav lechalot. You also don't have to become sick. V'lo yeh mamono chaviv alav migufo. Because money can't be more important than your body. The kevon shivanidon didon bevital mitzvot asei askinem v'lo vaveira lav. And since here we're talking about not doing a positive mitzvah rather than violating a lav, nired demutar lo mavatel mitzvah kedei ledrapot mechal yok shi'ef shabin anacher k'shem shemutar lo mavatel mitzvah kedei shelo yechale huadin kedei ledrapot mechal yok. So where does Rasher Weiss in his first source find precedent for treating mental illness as illness? Right, meaning sharper, right? What does he recognize? Even if we didn't define it as an illness, what is it? For sure.
At the very least, it's a parallel to truth.
At the very least, psychological anguish is pain, is real damage, right? The first thing he's saying is that halacha recognizes, right? He claims, and right, he has reason to believe this, right? Like I said before, it's sa'ar boshet, right? Halacha recognizes psychological damage is damage. And he says, well, if that's the case, I can draw a straight kal v'chomer. Because if you're, for mitzvot aseh, you don't have to spend more than a fifth of your money, then is all I don't even need to define psychological illness as illness. All I have to do is recognize that it causes pain and make the very straightforward argument that we make often in halacha, that something that affects you, right, your body, your mind, is worse than that which affects your money, your property. Right? I can already start to find kulas, at least for mitzvah saseh. This doesn't get me to lavin yet. Right? In order to get to lavin, I'm going to have to define it as an illness. But before I even get that, at least for aseh, I can get that far simply by saying I recognize pain, right, mental anguish as nezek. And even though the Gemara says that it's forbidden to benefit this world without a bracha, that's umash medisri yesh b'davar. It sounds like there's a law of kovar edibak v'acher nered ikar k'dat rashi demand einzei ala bitol mitzvot aseh. Really, it doesn't really mean usher, it means it's a bitol mitzvot aseh. That's one. Two, af im ne'emar dasur la'avor yisur k'dei lehitrapot. Even if you were to say that you're not allowed to violate a law to become better, shiny nidon didan. Shreim lo yidrapei v'chalatz mena meitzar yivatel mitzvot elu lanetzach v'chol chiyagavna aminan mutav shechalel alav shabbat achad v'lo chalel shabbatot arbei. And this is, I think, a very clever argument. Right? He said, look, I don't actually need to recognize it as illness, but what do I recognize? Right? And this is very, right? This is, I think, a phenomenally clever argument. Exactly. Right, he said, halacha has a argument, right? We have two reasons in the Gemara. Well, five, but two reasons that are accepted la halacha. One for sure, and probably a second, for why one is allowed to be machal Shabbos, for to save a life, right? One is v'chai b'hem, And the second to last one, the Gemara is Chalav Shabbos Achas Gedeisha Kamu Shabbos Os Harbe. Right? Violate one Shabbos, you can keep other Shabbatot. The Ramban accepts this halacha, right? Even though it is the rejected one, and he explains certain cases with it. The Rambam uses it even more as the basis for his argument that Avakiras Davar Min HaTorah. And the reason that you can Noker Davar Min HaTorah is called Chalav Shabbos Achas Yishmiru Shabbat Harbe. You're allowed to give up part of the system temporarily to ensure the system's continuance. So what does he say? Obviously you can do it, not because he can prove that it's illness, but illness itself, or death. Why can I fend off death, right, in halacha? Because, right, it's for the betterment of the system itself, right? For in order for you to better keep Shabbos, I let you be mechal this one. So what he says is, by recognizing, by understanding that b'mitzius, psychological illness, OCD, is debilitating, I can draw a very simple argument that halacha has to recognize it, which is, even allowing me to violate a law, which is, if it's going to prevent you from keeping other mitzvos, we have precedent for saying you're allowed to violate one mitzvah in order to allow your, enable you to keep another. And now he brings proof, right? And he said, I got this from Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was asked a question. If someone is meant, right, is insane, halachically insane, and he can be treated and be brought out of his insanity, but in order to do that, you need to institutionalize him, and he might have to violate Isurim, but if he becomes cured, he'll be chayv in mitzvahs, and now he's not. And Rav Zeh Yachil Ozo Machalos Asuris Hayim Mutal Achnis L'motzad Zeh, because of Chassam Sofer, Dima Yidei Kach Yishikui L'Rav Pato, if there's a chance that he'll be healed this way, Pshita, it's obvious, Davim Nemar Dehevei B'chal Sefiyah B'yadayim, V'ashrim Natorah, even if putting him in this institution is considered force feeding him not kosher food, and it's an Isur Daraisa, Mikol Makom Mutter. It's still permitted to Atu Chayav Manu Lishdiro Shota Patra Minat Mitzvos. Because what? The alternative is that we're going to be forced to leave him exempt from mitzvos, leave him in a state of mental insanity. And he proves it from the case of someone who's walking in the desert and he doesn't know what day is Shabbos, that he's not allowed to do malacha, but we allow him to do malacha enough to keep himself alive. But the one thing we allow him to do consistently, which violates Shabbos, is what? Is tchum. Because if we didn't, what would happen? He'd never get out. Because he'll do everything to allow him to get out of that. Now, tell me, before we see Rav Asher, right? He found partial precedent. Did he find real precedent? No. Why? Because the Chassam Sofer is dealing with what category? Shota, which has Talmudic precedent. And what is the basis of the Chassam Sofer's argument? Right? Why is the Chassam Sofer basically able to make a Ka'ein Chalal of Shabbos Achaz argument?
Because he's in a state where he's not Chayv in Mitzvot.
Exactly, because if you don't treat him, he won't be Chayv in Mitzvot. That's a straightforward argument from the Gemara.
Is this Kavachomer? I mean, now he's Chayv in Mitzvot and he's still not doing it.
Ah, right? So, but what you have to assume, right, is that this is the same, right? Because what, if you didn't recognize mental illness, what would be the answer? See, we all do recognize mental illness, but what would the answer be? Right? Someone saying, I daven so long that I don't get, I miss Zman. I started Nates, but I miss Zman. So what would someone who didn't recognize mental illness as real tell him? What? Stop davening for too long. He wouldn't, right? He just...
You don't have to recognize mental illness, recognize that, empirically understand that that won't work.
Right, right. So, but you need, it does take, right, it takes a, right... Think about the Divrei Yatziv's, the Divrei Chaim's Shufa, right? You're an idiot, right? That was his response,
yeah.
Right? So you could, right? If
but
you think...
You know that telling him that won't work. You don't need to recognize mental illness to realize that...
Right, but you could say he's Navarion, right? We have a phrase, right? It's, right? Right? Yalitena l'rasha v'yamus, right? Okay, so he's not listening to halacha, so he'll screw himself over, whatever. Right? It's basically, right? Yalitena l'rasha v'yamus means, right? I don't care, right? You're an avarion, right? You're not listening to Psak. So fine, that's your problem. I don't care, right?
So you're going to call Shabbos Achas would only apply to someone who can't figure out things for himself.
Right, or something like that, or something where, right, you... Yeah, right? If you just thought there was no such thing as mental illness and you totally recognized free will, you would just say the guy's a chote, right?
Yeah, it's not my responsibility.
Exactly, right? Right, meaning it's his job to control himself. Right? If you didn't know that there were psychological reasons for kleptomania, for example, right, you would just tell him, don't steal. Right? Right? And if he can't, so we'll imprison him or whatever, and he won't steal. But you wouldn't try to treat it because you wouldn't recognize something worth treating. Right? You'd say it's a failing in his free will. But that Rav Asher never does, because he does recognize it. And this is why I think it really is important to recognize that this really is a quantum leap in Psak, that it doesn't do that, right? Because we do that to someone who we think just can't control himself, right? Someone who we view them just say, you're weak, right? You're weak in terms of self-control. We don't say, well, okay, we'll let you violate this. So we don't do that, right? So he said, after Pashat Shiyesh Lachalik, and even though you could distinguish, to Shani Vaday Misafek, the Asher Duraka Malik, but Midrid Evi Safek Avera Mehala Losafin and Lay, Yadai, and Baruch Shakol, right? Because you could say, look, there, it's only a Safek, you don't know that today's Shabbos, Baruch Shakol Kabbalah Zachsam, so Rak Lavim Mekor, Usmach Lamad the Pashat Lay Misvara. So he says, no. The Chassam Sofer isn't making a formal halachic argument. He's saying the Chassam Sofer recognized reality. He recognized in Mitzius that this is true, and that's what I'm doing. I'm saying this is real. And if it's real, then halacha will have a way of dealing with it. The mutar lo la'adam lavor yisur kidei l'chalek tazmol mi'atzav shebo anus hu lavor b'yisur zeh shevatayim. It's obvious that a person is able to violate yisurim to get him out of a situation where he can't do mitzvot. So mishum kach, mutar lo lavor al tchum shabbos kilatzim in a midbar v'yachol lishmar shabbos kilelchaza v'chein mutar lach yelet yisur kidei l'havrio l'avil kidei chiv mitzvot v'kach nireh gam v'nidat yidon. And that's true here. The mutar and therefore it is obvious that a person can violate mitzvot, cannot say bracha, not say kriyashma to heal himself. And if we don't let him olam lo yitrape, he'll never get better. And if we don't, he will always violate this through in depression and a broken spirit. And now, right, this is even, he goes even farther, and he said, I've spent much time thinking about Chazal's statement, Gdola Avera Lishma. Right, the greatness of sometimes doing an avera for the right reasons. And they praise Yalom, even though we don't say it alach l'maisa. Poskim do quote it. They use it as a svara. We don't know the exact parameters. And obviously it's also a violating iser. When you have good intentions, right? Good intentions is not enough to permit that which is forbidden, or to right to make a sheretz kosher. What does it mean? This rule tells you that when something is impossible. Right? The only way for Yael to save the Jewish people was to violate the issue of sleeping with Sisra, Pashut, Yeshav, and Yacher, Atu, Titin, L'chol Yisrael, L'gavah, because what? Yael said, what, I'm going to let all the Jewish people die? U'mimena, lamdu, d'makom, shadad, habrava, svara, yisharava, pshuta. Noten it. D'i, efshar, linhog, b'sheve, al ta'aseh. What this tells you is that when logic tells you, reality dictates, that you can't do nothing, val korachok nidreshit pula, which means you have to do something, even if I don't have a formal way of justifying it, and I saw that this is what the stapler wrote. Mamash b'shelatenu v'zever crying not to igrasa v'nyan zev v'zelashono v'horeti lo l'shit palo v'sidur mashakvar avar l'yachzor alav. I told the guy, just keep davening, don't repeat v'shum ofen, no matter what, afili enid melo b'rivur Shalom Ruka Hogan Osh Dileg Tivot Mizeba Rur Shapiala Kha in Uchia Vitera Vyevshar Lasbir Davar Ze Misha Hubatavim Midochim Binyan Zevin. Right now the stapler here had a very clever psychological move, which is I can't explain to him why. Right, because what happens when you explain to someone who has OCD why they don't have to do something? You start making exceptions. So what did he tell the guy? Just tell him this is what to do. Just tell him that's the ikra halacha. Right, you can assuage his fears. Tell him it's no itzer daraisa. Because the harach bin zerakin lahorat lo shebechol masha avar liyachzer shuv alav odapam. So svarav katav. This man became well. Now he's an important person. Now, second question, right? He says, Umash Sha'al. But now you ask the second question. Okay, so you could have just said, I'll only recognize it insofar as you don't have a choice, because you have to daven, right? So I'll tell you, when you daven, don't repeat. But he asks a second question, do I have to eat, right? Or should I just live on, you know, the guy could be very smart about it, I'll live on protein bars, right? I'll live on things that are, right, basically made to allow me to sustain myself artificially, right? Because it, you know, puts all the protein and fiber and vitamins together. But this way, I'll say the shortest brachos possible. Shahakol bray nefashos. I'll never be full, but I won't die. Right? He says no. Masha shaal and ra'u the manami lechol patke sviya kadesh leitchayvei levarach birchal vazim daraita. And now this relates to what we said last week. Nired ein lo lahakvid b'kach klal minatam shkvarni ver la'el shareizet tivau mutash amachala zo sham yaser atzmal kol hazman b'charadok shelo asad mutal lav liyatzaydech v'do b'shem davar. So don't do that, because that's what OCD does to you. It makes you, right, torture yourself, convincing you did something wrong. V'raki shaver al charadot elo. The only way to get over obsessive compulsive disorders is not to continue to be afraid of things, but to do that which you're afraid of. If we tell him don't eat bread, he'll come up with 100 other shalos, 1,000 other. Because then he'll say, maybe I should only eat less than achilas pras. Right, this way I never have to make a bracha achrona. And maybe I should only have it shelo kederach achila. Right, I'll eat it through a feeding tube, or I'll eat it through IV, because I don't have to make any bracha. This should be bracha rishona. Maybe I'll never sleep a full sleep. I only sleep 20 minutes at a time. I'll never have to make bracha torah. And he'll ask me crazy shaylos. Ve'ein davar sof. ומשום כך נראה ברור את מעשה יש לו לנהוג ככל אדם כדרגו של עולם ושתדל פעם אחת בקיום של דבר מפואר. So, right, what principle is he invoking here without saying that he's invoking it? Last week, right? Well, Ninatol Malchashar, which we said, right, what was Rav Usher's intuition there? And I want to show you how, right, poskim have intuitions that, right, pulsate through their tshuvos, you know, they don't say it. Right? What did he understand was the fundamental principle behind Lonin Torah Malchei Hasharis? That the Torah expects what? That, or even more generally, to live a normal life. And what is, right, the intuition that's shaping how we paskin in this paragraph? Right, two things. One is the recognition of the reality of OCD and what happens if you're constantly afraid of things. But the second thing that he recognizes is what? What is an impossibility, right? Because someone could just say, okay, Nachanami, maybe this guy has to have IV, right? He just won't violate any serum. But what does he say? That can't be an eventuality, because the Torah expects you to live a normal life. And therefore, it's considered debilitating, right? If you're always going to have to be doing things in a way that's not normal. Lo yitachem. Right? Amnam, right? Yesh la'ayen keitzet yosiyat b'nei beito b'kiddush hayom. But now he has a problem. Because it's very nice to say that someone who has OCD is allowed to do this, but what's the sad reality of almost all mental illness is it doesn't only hurt the person who's sick, it hurts his family, everyone around him. Right now, what's the general problem? Right, when I paskin shas hadchak, it's very good for the person for whom it is a shas hadchak. Right, but what about for everybody else? Right. So Ketzid Yotzid Bnei Beis Bekiddush Hayom Eino Hoges Hashem Kel Chaso Va'Avim Matzino Lo Heter Kel Chasmo Ach Mayasu Bnei Beis Asher Lo Shamu Kiddush Kel Chaso. So now here Rav Asher asks, and as one of the things that's always important to realize in Psak is often the best Psak, right, has nothing to do with halacha and everything to do with
technology.
What?
Psychology.
More basic than that. Practicality. Right? Psak, right? You can come up with a clever solution, right? You who was here last year when we discussed Ovadia's shita on Bishul Akum? You were here, right? So he had a problem, right? Svaradim think that it's Bishul Akum unless a Jew actually puts it on the flame, right? And Ashkenazim don't. Ashkenazim, whatever, think that you could light the pilot light. Right, we'll just put it at that. Right, that's basically what comes from the Rama Shita. Right, so Rav Ovadia has a very complicated tshuva explaining why it's mutter for Svaradim to rely on Ashkenazim because it's Svek Sveka. Yeah, so that would solve the problem halachically. But what did Rav Ovadia say should really be the solution to this?
Get
Ashkenazim to recognize that Svaradi are part of the culture, and therefore. Right, should be machmir so that Svaradi can eat by them. Right, that accomplishes the same goal without any halachic, right, mental with any mental gymnastics. Right, often you can circumvent halachic problems, right, by simply negating them. Right, practically. Right, very simple. Right, right. The best, right. This is true in general. Right, you always have to remember. Right, it's as nice as it is to be a lamdan, right, when you're actually talking about psak, halacha maisa, practical solutions are just as good if they circumvent the halachic issue. Right, Rabbi Willig, for example, is the master of this. I remember when I was learning Nida, this is one of the things, right? One of the things you have to do, before someone goes to mikvah, she has to take a hot bath, right? That's how we get rid of the chatzitzos, right? In the Heights, this was often a problem because buildings often just lose hot water on Erev Shabbos. So if someone's going Friday night, this can often be a problem, right? So Rabbi Schwartz said, right, at some point, someone called him with a shayla that she needed, right? Her whole building lost hot water and, like, he like was freaking out because there's a whole bunch of coolers you have to rely on. So he called up Rabbi Willig, and Rabbi Willig said, "Give me 5 minutes." He called back. He said, "There's an empty apartment in that building, right? I got the keys for you. They'll be waiting for you. Go there, right?" Because sometimes you just have to realize that, right? You can try to find a whole bunch of coolers, and you really could find coolers, or you could just say, "Wait, the problem is you don't have hot water. That building has hot water. You want it to be private? Fine. So she doesn't get the key. I'll get the key. You get right." I'll arrange for the person to give you the key. You already know who it is, right? You've solved the halachic problem. You've solved the tzniyos problem. Nobody knows. No halachic, right? Gymnastics. So here, Rav Asher says something which is actually relatively surprising in the Haredi world, and you'll tell me why in a minute. So, what should you do? Right? What should you do for Kiddush? What? She should say Kiddush.
But even Mishnah Berurah admits that she can say Kiddush
with their... Ah, but what does the Mishnah Berurah say? Mishnah Berurah says she can, but...
Tznius.
Pasnisht. Tznius.
No, but I think doesn't he say that still it's okay if it's just her family?
Maybe.
And he says if they have older children...
Yeah. V'yishbam gedolim in bei yecholim. I am like a desh lo tziyat kol b'nei b'nei yecholam. You're right, it's not so extreme, but what does he just say? He takes some of the common answers and... Right? I know women don't normally do, but this is enough of a reason. That's it. Right? Let her say Kiddush, or your kids say Kiddush, whatever. And then he says, "Ukshesh orchem bebayit yesh lot kaper al boshto levakesh mehem lekadesh lo tziyoto vebnei veito yidei chovatam biglal shakoshi yeshlo." And if you have guests, so let them say Kiddush. Ukshesh. Now this is very striking, and this is the last line of the tshuva. It's actually very striking. Ukshesh shein adam bosh bimigbala gufanit shebahu lokeh. And just like people aren't embarrassed when they're sick, right? Right, I'm not embarrassed. Sometimes no one here was at that meal. But I at least had one meal I remember at my house last year where there was a cold going around and I was getting over like some sort of flu or something, right? So I didn't want to make Kiddush for everybody, right? And I didn't want to make Hamotzi. I didn't want to be touching the challah. There happened to be, of the six people at the meal, five of us had been sick. But the one person who was healthy, right, who hadn't had the flu that week, whatever it was, made Kiddush and Hamotzi. I forget who it was. I don't know. I think it was the meal with all the Joshes. So I don't remember who made Kiddush. Right, but I wasn't ashamed. Okay, so I had the flu, whatever. Kach ein siba shibush b'megbala sheyavosh b'megbala zo she'ein bina lebein machala acheret. Right, and here is where you really see it on a pastoral level. His total acceptance of the existence of mental illness. Right, where he says, right, don't forget, this is just another illness. And I think that really is a radical step forward in Pesach, both pastorally and halachically, where he really comes up, I think, effectively with a language to explain that if you recognize this as illness, which I think you should, right, which he makes it clear at the end, I have language to explain to you, not only can you violate ases, you can violate los ases. And you see how both pastorally, right, tells the guy, don't worry, right, I recognize you're a shamayim, and I want to get you to the point, right, this is not what halacha is about, don't think this is what halacha is about, halacha is about being normal, right, that intuition runs through his psak, and it comes through pastorally also, and don't be embarrassed, this is just something you're suffering from, it's not who you are, it's just a sickness, right, and you'll get through it, and he comes up with both pastoral and halachic language to solve the problem of this individual, which I think is really a great step forward. Just in less minutes we have, now in this Mamar Yerak Tahara, it has the same thing. And that's why I said I think this culminates, right? He's quoting at the Stifler, and this was reviewed by Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. I'll read you just name it from the chapters in it. Right? So first, he deals with all the classic shailas, right? Mitzvah Sfichas Kavana, Kavana V'Paskriya Nekriya Shema, right? Pana Levavo, Lidvar Macherim V'Kriya Shema Tfila, Baruch Shem Kavad Machas Olam V'Ed, Dikto Kartevis V'Kriya Shema, Mitzvah Zaseh Jesus Kriyas Yizhiris Mitzrayim, Kavana V'Birch HaRishana V'Shmona Esrei. Right? So the first things he talks basically about Tfila, because that's the most common thing that's dealt with this problem. But then, he provides justification for why we think it's important for you to solve this, right? And he calls those two chapters Yisharim Darchei Hashem and Ezuhi Derech Yishara, right? The ways of Hashem are straight, and what is the way a person should live? And he says that it's clear Halacha wants you to live a normal life. And then he does it with Tefillin, Tefillin Sedayim, cleanliness, etc. And he explains that the reason that he's looking for kulos and the reason that he's poskening on this is because it's clear halacha recognizes that this is an illness and that halacha wants you to be normal. He actually does use the phrase explicitly. It doesn't want you to be acting like that. Therefore, it must be that we have to cure you from it. Now, at the end here, he has the psak. Right? I'll just read you some. Here, let me read you just. Right? So he said, look, amnam afshad varam. Right, so now he said, look, Hine, kol masha, you don't have this. Kol masha olah berurot, adata, tata, ratina, kudashah, ra'oi l'chol, hiyim binyan she'inu eitev. Right, all these halachic arguments I've made to you so far, right, that you don't have to repeat Kriya Shema, are all obvious, but I know that it's hard for you to accept it. Amnam avshad v'rim kal omram, yitachin shakarim shabatayim l'kol blam lo, don't alta uch nishra, shenishra shashanim rabot. Amnam, I know how hard it is for you to implement this. Because this has become your nature. But you know, at the end of the day, Ashreichem, that this is your problem. You're right. You have OCD because you really want to do mitzvos. Amnam, no da lanu gam min hamitziyut. But we know from reality, the gam min anashim shoskim har bebe sugash lo haya adam yalam to do it lo hanervin me alehem. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get out of OCD if you don't take action. Im lo shiskiru kenegam mechemet charamam mechemet kodesh. Unless you declare a holy war on your OCD. And it's not easy. But if it weren't to change the way we are, why do we exist? Right? This is Torah. Right? And if you don't, right? This is destructive. You're destroying what tefillah is about. Right, you should accept it. Now he says, okay. But let's say you can't do it. It's just hard for you. You hear what I'm saying, but you can't do it. So he says, Omnam av elu shovram betzidam alinu latzik bezot ruo. Let me tell you, right? I know it's hard, but let me spell it out very clearly. Kifish shamanu mispar pamim megrach kanievski shlita yol ken meor balkilas Yaakov and the Chazon Ish. It is clear. Brurim ledina pturim heim legamrei miakriya shema utfila ve'ein sorach likro kriya shema utfila klal. Solution. What's the solution? If you can't get over OCD, don't daven. Anus Ones Rachmana Patre Ad Shishivohim Lederach Noam Harigila Viachlu Lekayim Hamitzvot Kichol Adam. You are putter until you're cured, because, and the same principle, right, is until you can keep mitzvot like a normal person. V'af imhem shleimim b'daitav v'sichlam l'gamrei, and this is even if otherwise you're totally normal, totally there. V'cholim namely dinim p'torim him l'gamrei l'inyan this, you are putter, and that is it. Right, and he goes on in this vein, right, with this vein, right, and it, you know, here, interestingly enough, pulls out the what is very effective in the Haredi world and says, and you're going to tell me you don't agree? This is Das Teira. You have to listen. But that is actually very effective in OCD. Right? Is if you can get someone to accept you, right? Right? This is actually very effective. Right? Sometimes it actually, right, to work within the system, right? If you're talking to someone who accepts Das Teira, the best thing you can do to them is tell them this is what Das Teira says, and you are putter, and therefore make them accept it even if it's hard. It's actually a very helpful psychological tool. And it's reading this is actually fascinating, where the same thing comes out, that they accept it as an illness, and two, the reason they accept it as an illness, what drives them to really accept it, like Baruch Asher, is the conviction that lo nidna Torah l'malach yacharis, that halacha is meant to be lived in a normal fashion, and if you're living halacha in a way that's clearly not normal, it must be that's an illness, and therefore that must be something that's be cured. We treat it like any other illness, patur ad hasof, right? Patur without any shailas. And just like a rusher, not only does it make that sort of halachically forward, pastorally it's also very interesting, right? It talks to the person, says, I recognize how hard it is, and it, right, it actually at some point says, and I'm not going to explain to you why you're putter, just accept it. Because I know, and it says, if I explain to you why you're putter, you'll find a way out of it. Right? But you're putter, and I know that if you, right, if I let you explain your way out of it, you won't be cured. So anyways, I just wanted to talk here, take, like I said, another test case. I think, again, it's just important to realize that, look, halacha is constantly being faced with situations that it hasn't dealt with in the past. What halacha does, what poskim do when they're faced with that challenge, is they try to find precedent, right? But they combine precedent with an intuition of what halacha says about things, has to say about things, and they implement it. Right, and here is one of those cases where you see it, where halacha didn't really have a language naturally talk about mental illness, and here the Haredi world really, I assume in our world also, but the Haredi world actually has much more literature than we do, where they've accepted the existence of mental illness, recognized it, on the basic claim that it must be that halacha wants you to live a normal life, and if you don't, that's considered debilitating like any other illness. Once you make that halachic step forward, now you have the ability to potter people from assays, to even violate, let them violate los assays if absolutely necessary. So that's one thing to keep in mind. The second thing is to realize that, right, as important to halacha is halachic ingenuity, right, equally important is one, knowing how to talk to the person such that he'll accept it, which is what you find in both of these, right? Finding the language that will resonate with them, and two, is having practical solutions that will mitigate problems. Right? All those things, I think, are critical to understanding how halacha works. Okay, and